All right, guys, this episode is sponsored by Herd App Marketings. Now, you've heard us talk about the Herd App media team and all the reasons we chose to work with them and how far the Hollywood Raw podcast has come in the last few months, with much more in the pipeline that we're very excited about. But Herd App Media is only one part of the Herd App organization.
Let us say one of the reasons we chose Herd App, it was their reputation as one of the premier search engine optimization agencies out there. Search optimization, for those of you who don't know, is the practice of optimizing your website, podcast, YouTube views, or anything else to be found as high as possible in the Google search results. Herd App Marketing serves the marketing needs of companies of all sizes, from mom and pop shops to S&P 500 corporations. They work with nearly 3,000 business locations in 43 states. And this was the tipping point in the decision for the Hollywood Raw.
So we knew that growing Hollywood Raw meant partnering with a media company that also had a full marketing arm. And that's what Herd App Marketing brings to the table. So Herd App Marketing is not just SEO. They are a full service marketing agency with literally every service under one roof. There is nothing outsourced to partners like a lot of the other big agencies do. And we mean everything: social media marketing, web design, content marketing, video production, branding, creative, SEO, SEM, local SEO, all the SE whatevers. They have the team in-house to meet your needs and ours.
Yeah, that's why you see our TikTok blowing up. We are getting ready to launch a whole new website, and they are the power behind the news stories that we found on our website. They literally do it all for us, and they can do the same for you. So if you have a company that needs more customers or know somebody who needs new customers, you know by now that the internet is where you're going to find them. And Herd App Marketing is the company that will get you found more often than your competition. Online at herdappmarketing.com. That's H-U-R-R-D-A-T marketing.com. Or give them a call at 877-662-4443.
Hey, everybody. This is Mark from the Paparazzi Podcast. This is Jedi.
Yep, and we're real-life paparazzi photographers here in Los Angeles. Listen to us on the Hollywood Raw podcast, and we're going to tell some amazing stories from right here in LA, and you're going to find out who crawled on their arms and knees to steal all of Mark's gear. You will not know who it is, and you will not believe it.
She is a big star, people. It's crazy. What up, buddy?
What up, dude?
Wow, that was a lot of energy. I don't know where that came from.
I know. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. We got a good one today. We have the boys from the Paparazzi Podcast. It's always good to hear some paparazzi stories.
My favorite things are paparazzi stories, because those are the people that are seeing the celebs on like a normal basis. They're seeing them when they're grocery shopping. They're seeing them when they're parking their cars. I don't know. I think my favorite part is I like to hear who's nice and who's not.
Yeah.
Because if you're not nice to the random folks on the street, you're probably not a good person.
Yeah. But you know what's so funny? Like, I see on Instagram and social media all the time, you see some guy, they call themselves an entertainment reporter, and they wear a nice little tailored suit that they got from H&M. And it's really just a piece of shit outfit, but it looks good. Who?
Are you talking about me again?
No. No, but it's, here's the thing is, like, you have these people that play entertainment reporter on TV, but these people are the people that are actually the entertainment reporters. They're the actual ones doing their hard work and the ones who are breaking the stories.
Well, not all of them, Adam. Not everyone is you, bro. Like, there's a lot of paps out there that don't ask questions, that don't talk to celebs, that don't try to do the work. You're an exception. There's a very small group of people that do what you do out there.
But you know what? A lot of these photographers, they're the first one on the scene when shit goes down. So,
well,
like,
that's true. You know, they're documentarians.
So exactly what it is. So they're there. They were like the first ones to experience. And then you see someone on TV like talking about it. I'm like, no, these are the people that actually like doing the journalism side. The other people just reporting. They're just saying, hey, what we heard is this, this, this. It's, but that's what makes them interesting. They know what it was like there when they're covering Britney Spears during her meltdown. You know, they know what it's like when a celebrity goes crazy, you know, what it was like being there when you know, such, there's just a celebrity fight. It's just, they were there. So it's
these guys, so it's going to be Mark and Jedi who's coming on. They've been in this paparazzi world for a very long time. Like, they were the ones doing all the setups with Spencer and Heidi. And you know, they've been taking photos for a gazillion years. I bought a lot of these photos while I was at TMZ. So I think that they're going to have some fantastic stories. I do want to obviously shift gears here real fast. You know, we always say it. Please leave us a review on iTunes. It is the kindest, best thing you can do for us. You just go to our iTunes page, scroll down, and then you can leave a review, 5 stars. You know, tell me my hair looks like shit, but give us 5 stars. That's all I ask for. And you can be a part of our show. And in that point, we'll read your comments out loud. It's what we do to say thank you. Is that, I mean, is there a better way? I don't think so.
It's very nice.
We got one up. Got one here. All right. This one comes from Baseball 201. Fun. I love this podcast. The hosts have a great time, and they have some awesome interviews. Yeah, we fucking do.
Yeah, we do. Just like that. Leave a review and we'll read it live on air. It's the best thing to do to support this podcast. We got some really cool things coming up in the next few weeks. Some pretty cool.
And can you explain? Can you explain how to do this celeb fan question roulette? We haven't done it in a while, and I feel like I've dropped the ball on actually playing them, but we need to get more questions in, because I think that is one of the best things.
Yeah, we do a fan chat roulette. So this is what you do, right? You have a question. Film yourself asking a question and DM it to us on Instagram. You know, the Hollywood Raw Instagram. DM the video of you asking the question. We'll take that video and we'll play that video for the celebrity. Now, you don't know who the celebrity is, and that's the fun part. So you can ask a random question. Say, what's the role they wish they got? What's your biggest regret in the business? Has there ever been a casting couch moment? Has Harvey Weinstein ever tried touching you? Whatever it is.
And ask the other weird fun question. Part is, we don't listen to them before.
We don't. And so, we take those videos. We take those questions. We play for a celebrity. And this improv kind of guerrilla style question where you don't know who the person is. They don't know who you are. And you're asking a question. And that's the fun part. And we play it live on air. So it's just a really fun part for you guys to be a part of this show. And this show is a very cool show called the Hollywood Raw Podcast. If you're a first time listener, thank you for listening. Dax, what can people expect from this podcast?
Wow, they can expect a lot. So our guests today are two veteran celebrity journalists, photographers, aka paparazzos, who cover the biggest stories in Hollywood, break the biggest news, and are one of the first ones on the scene. They're also the guys behind the Paparazzi Podcast, which is paparazzi podcast covering everything you want to know about that world. So Mark, Jedi, welcome to the podcast.
Let's get right into it. So you guys are both photographers, correct?
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. So right now, get right into it. Your biggest shot yet. What's the biggest shot?
How about we do a little intro, some backstory for people? You know, we've got Mark and Jedi here, two well-known paparazzi out here in LA. We actually connected because of the Spencer Pratt interview. And I think that is a big deal. Like, listen, we love Spencer. We loved having him on. He talks a big game, talks about everything, very honest and open, and that's one of our favorite things. But what is your guys' connection, just for the general public, to be like, you know, what was your connection with Spidey, Heidi and Spencer over the years?
Well, Spidey, yeah. I mean, it was Spidey the whole time. But yeah, we were the original photographers. Actually, I connected with Spencer before I was even with PCN. I was kind of on a figuring out the business. I was in the business for just a few months, and I signed onto a contract, or, you know, just did a little kind of preliminary ride along. Let's see what you could do out there type of thing, and realized what the other guys were making in that time, and left PCN to just go, you know, try and do some other things.
PCN is a big paparazzi photo agency.
Yeah, exactly. They were one of the big ones at the time. And there was Flynet. There was a few other, Splash, at the time. And I just left because I wasn't making the money that they were. And I was gone for a little bit, but then I ended up meeting Spencer and doing a couple of setups with the other agency. And then when I came back to PCN, I had a good relationship with Heidi and Spencer. And so they came back kind of with me. That's where they met James Aliott. And we all went from there. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, they were great fun. The shoots that, like, Spencer was talking about with you guys as well, they were hilarious to be a part of. Like,
we loved them.
Yeah, one memory that comes back to me is, you remember Heidi had a music career for a hot second?
Yeah, sure.
We did a shoot outside. It was in the back alley of somewhere behind Melrose, and it was the premise of the shoot was her record has failed, and she's really upset. And so their assistant is dropping eye drops into Heidi's eyes to make it look like she's crying. And Spencer's there going, more Visine, we need more tears, we need more tears. And I'm just cracking up, just, you know, it's every click of the camera is ching, 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 basically. It was good money back in those days with those guys.
So was that his idea or was that her idea, like, or your guys' idea, like, hey, let's do it? Was he the one, like, kind of pushing it and saying, no, we
gotta It was James Aliot's idea to do that shoot, but it was Spencer then that was pushing the eye drops to make it look that she was even more upset than she was.
I loved the campiness of the whole thing. I would say my favorite photo shoot that goes down with them is the one where they were on the boat in the marina and they were recreating Titanic.
Yeah, that was me, by the way. That was Valentine's Day. That was a fun day. I remember the price of that boat, to rent that boat, was just astronomical, and I couldn't believe that we were paying to rent that boat for as long as we did for that shoot. But I also remember rushing to the nearest to find the nearest flower shop that would give us enough roses. And it was Valentine's Day. I think it was on Valentine's Day or right before Valentine's Day. And I was running all over the place trying to find flowers for that shoot, which was crazy.
But like no budget was too much for Heidi and Spencer either, because they were printing money for us, yeah, basically back in those days.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so funny. What a cool backstory.
How much were you making that much money with them? Like, was it worth your time to keep shooting them? Because at the time, I guess.
Oh yeah. It was the competition of a few photographers that would do it, of who would get the next cover, you know, who's the one who was going to get the shot to get the next cover. So we would just think of the most extravagant thing, but something that you would see on the cover, and it would just be, and we had awards at the end of the year that we would give to the photographer. The agency would give the awards to the photographers that came up with the best one or who got the cover. It was hilarious.
I think the wild thing is to realize, like, their photos were going for more than some of, like, the big A-list stars at the time. Like, that to me is what blows my mind. How much hatred and people would just love to talk crap on them, but yet them on the cover of a magazine was selling magazines like them beating the cover of Brad and Angelina. That to me is wild.
It's madness. Absolute madness. It really is. People love to hate them, and like they couldn't. Any publicity was good publicity for them.
Yeah. And if you didn't, if they hadn't had a sale or anything in a while, it was like, okay, all hands on deck. What are we doing? How are we going to going to top the last one? And how are we going to get them back on the cover again? You know?
So Spencer said that he believes he made over $1 million in setup photos. Do you think that number was pretty accurate?
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. Easy. Easy.
Yes. Wow. For sure. I mean, us as photographers, I mean, me personally, I would say I was on over 70% of what they were shooting and traveling with them. And, you know, I was doing a good living at the time. You know, I was doing a good six figures and living great. Honestly, my wife loved it.
All right, yeah. Adam, get back into your original questions. Actually, I'm sorry. I just wanted to set up who they were and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we talked about Spencer and Heidi. Who is the new Spencer and Heidi for you guys? Who's the one that kind of took in that role or kind of going that sort of same direction?
I mean, nobody is them, honestly. Like, nobody's them. Everybody's kind of picked up on doing setups or street styles, what, you know, Michael used to call it New York. But they've all just kind of picked up on it now. And they're all just kind of, you know, not really the A-listers. The A-listers are still very standoffish about doing setups. Or if they do, they're not talking about it.
Or they just don't want to admit it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. They're not talking about it, exactly. But the new upcoming stars, the reality stars, especially like Bachelor stuff, the Bachelorettes, the Bachelor stuff, they love doing it. And I would say they're the new Heidi and Spencer. Anybody affiliated with the Bachelor or the Bachelorette.
Yeah, but you're never going to create lightning in a bottle again. It's never going to be as big as it was back then, I don't think. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you. I know Adam had kind of asked you at the beginning, what was the biggest shot you guys ever got?
I'm still waiting for something ginormous, but the biggest the biggest, it will happen soon. The $1 million shot is there for me at some point. But the stuff that I've made the most money on recently is Britney Spears. I've been working her a bunch. I had the set of pictures of her leaving the police station in Thousand Oaks the day before the conservatorship hearing. That did very nicely. And I also had the first set of Brittany during COVID, during lockdown, where she was just, you know, she was running through a field, basically. I think it was the first time that she'd probably been out during COVID, and the shoes came off and she was like just running around like a, well, as a kid in the field, basically.
So over the years, Brittany is one of those celebs that she's had both good and bad relationships with the paparazzi. She's someone that will embrace it, but then also be very much anti-paparazzi.
Right.
What do you, you know, and she talked a little bit in her court case about, you know, I feel like I'm kind of living under this microscope, not only by the general public, but photographers. What is your guys' relationship with Brittany right now?
I'm a photographer that is extremely, extremely discreet. I pride myself on never being seen. So Brittany, I don't think she's ever known that I photographed her, especially the last couple of years during COVID. It's always super discreet, you know, hiding in the car, long distance, and she has no idea. But in the old days, it was a completely different story, as you know, you guys have seen all sorts of videos and in the Brittany documentary. Yeah. Everyone was just, you know, on her, basically. It's not like that anymore. Anyone that works Brittany is just completely discreet, because you're not going to get anything otherwise. You know, I think the last, other than this Hawaii set that came out today, the sets of Brittany are just car shots, because the guys that are following her get busted that quickly. You have to be so discreet to get a good set of her these days.
And it's funny, because when she's in Hawaii, I mean, she's posting from her balcony, like, look at where I'm at, everyone. Yeah, and yeah, I gotta think, well, that if I was a paparazzi, I would look at that and go, okay, I know exactly where Brittany is and where
those guys know exactly where that is. Those Hawaii guys are on it.
Yeah, I think exactly. She's gone out there like 3 times in the last 2 months, the guys are right there right away, because she posts that she's there. If she doesn't want to be photographed, I don't understand why she posts that she's there. You know, just keep posting your videos of yourself dancing in your living room, and people will think you're still at home.
Sure. What about the boyfriend? I feel like he gets shot a lot. Is he very cool with it? Is he very understanding of it?
I think I'm the most recent shot. Am I the most
recent? I don't know. No. But Sam's great. Yeah. I got Sam the morning of the conservatorship. He went to work out at the gym. I kind of TMZ'd him. I got not in his face, but I had a camera out and asked him a bunch of questions. I approached him first and said, "Hey, Sam, I'm Jed. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions on camera. Is that okay?" He said, "Yeah, cool, bro. Go for it." And he was kind of funny with his answers. He deflected everything I said and turned it into, a workout, basically. All he would talk about was working out.
Yeah.
But he's cool. Like, he embraces it. He's still kind of new to it, like 3 or 4 years in. And he gets it, I think. He plays the game.
Well, and I got him on set of Dollface a couple of weeks ago. I actually mistakenly got him. I was there for Kat Dennings and ended up getting him. Kind of cameoing in it on the day she was picking or sending her lawyer to pick her lawyer for that conservatorship. And those pictures kind of ran everywhere for that one day, that good 24 hours.
So interesting. Okay. So wait, go back to the biggest shot. So Mark, what's your biggest shot?
My biggest shot was actually, it's actually 2 shots, I think. Cause I've had a lot of shots over the years. I mean, I've been in this business for 13 years, and it's hard to remember all the good shots because there's been a lot of covers, there's been a lot of really good shots, but the one that really stands out, it was 2 shots in 1 week, 2 different people. It was Charlize Theron playing Megyn Kelly on the day that Megyn Kelly got fired from Fox. That was just planets aligned. I came across a random set and it happened to be her playing Megyn Kelly on that morning. No info, no nothing, just random. And then later that week, I ended up getting Tom Cruise riding his motorcycle with Jennifer Connelly on the back, filming Top Gun 2. And that picture went everywhere.
That's a good one, dude. That's a real good one for sure. Adam, what's your biggest one? I don't think I've ever asked you.
Oh, man, it's weird. I mean, it depends when I was with a former company or I was by myself. I mean, recently.
Either one.
I mean, it's crazy. This video that I did recently of, and I'll be totally upfront, that I did Elon Musk recently, and the video was nothing spectacular on my end, to be honest with you. Like, the video I got of him was him kind of talking, you know, barely talking to me. There was tons of autographers, but it was video the week of him going on SNL, and it did, and for some reason it did an insane amount for me on YouTube, and I probably, you know, probably made, you know, roughly, you know, I'm still making money on it, but so far over, again, video is different than photo. I mean, it's doing very, very well.
He was dancing around that number right there.
Should I say that number? Should I not? But it did very, very well for me.
Did he say anything special on the video? I mean, what was the big drop?
To be honest with you, like, he did talk a little bit about like asking. It was a fun video of like, for me, it was more seeing how Elon looks or acts in public, and it was the week of him going on SNL, so a lot of eyes on him. But there was a lot of stuff going on in the news that week with Dogecoin and cryptocurrency. So I think just because I asked him about that stuff, the video did very, very well. But other than that, I'd say my Oprah's videos did very well. Like, always got picked up, because I don't do photo, I did video, but my Oprah videos have gotten picked up by pretty much like every single news outlet, from the Today Show to Good Morning America to it's weird, man. I don't, it's hard to say what justifies big. Like, for you guys get a cover. For me, I guess it's just a matter of as big as it could go. I don't know. It's hard to determine what's the biggest.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Maybe like the most hours, like 24, 48, 30, you know, as many days as a video can last. Right.
Sure. Yeah. It's weird. Photos and videos is very differently. Like, I always say, you know, well, you guys are fortunate. There's more outlets that will accept photos, videos. There's not too many people that will accept videos. So
yeah,
it's limited on stuff. So I have to monetize it in different ways.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel comfortable talking to celebrities, or do you guys mostly like to stand in the background and kind of be incognito and get photos?
You know, for some reason, I don't know. It's strange. I try and talk to celebrities, and I always get kind of starstruck when I start. I feel totally confident going into it. I feel perfectly comfortable. And then once those words start coming out, I fumble and I get all starstruck. And I don't know. I feel like I come off as kind of a jerk when I talk to them. So,
yeah.
I got the best intention.
Adrenaline kind of comes in, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what it is. I came to Roseanne one day, and I saw her at Trader Joe's. And I went up to her, and I tried to approach her with the best intentions and the best kind of approach. I rehearsed it for about 15 minutes in the car, you know, waiting for her to come out. And her husband just came at me just with this vengeance, and it turned into this big crazy you're a Democrat, you're a Hillary lover, and like, you know. And I'm like, hey, I was trying to just get a nice little answer out of this, you know. I'm sorry, but yeah, so I've kind of quit talking to him after that.
Yeah,
but this guy, he's pretty good.
No, I'm more than happy to do it. If there's money to be made with an audio clip of somebody, I'll prepare the night before, come up with a list of questions, like try and memorize it, and then just go straight for them. But if there's, you know, no money to be made audio, they don't see me.
Yeah. It's so the English accent, though. The English accent will always
help out a lot.
It does help. Like, when I first came to LA, I've been doing this for 16 years now. And my first year was strictly just video. So for the first year, as a, you know, a 21-year-old Brit fresh to America, I didn't give a crap what I was doing. So I'm happy to get in the face with a camera and just ask them anything I could think of.
I think
and the TMZ's never try to put you and try to sign you up.
No.
No. Hey, people that ask good questions, they get hired by TMZ real fast. But I'm surprised to hear that you guys get starstruck. I feel that you see these celebs so often, you know, the biggest people in the entire world. I'm surprised that you would get starstruck at this point.
I'm surprised too, honestly. I mean, if I was to talk to, you know, one of these bachelors or something like that, I don't get starstruck with them at all. But anybody who's an A-lister who I admire in the business, because, you know, I started this, you know, shooting in this business. I came from kind of the production side of the business. I did a lot of production work back in the day, and I respect the business. I respect Hollywood. I respect the celebrities. And I think that might be what it is I have respect for these people. And I think of them as something maybe a little bigger than just human sometimes. And maybe that's what it does, you know?
Yeah, well, you're a huge fan of the movies.
I am. I'm a big movie guy, you know? So, you know, that's probably what it is. But yeah, the smaller B-lister stuff like that, I don't have a problem talking to them at all, because you know, they're just like us, right?
Celebrities, they're just like us. Yeah.
Are you guys offended? Obviously, you guys aren't, you know, you guys are in the podcast, the Paparazzi podcast, but are you guys offended by the word paparazzi?
I mean, I sometimes, you know, the people use it as a slur, you know, sometimes. Oh, you're just so and so paparazzi. You know, it doesn't feel good to be all put under the same branch, because there are some guys out there that aren't good guys, but both of us are good guys. I do prefer photojournalist, but I mean, like you say, we do a podcast called the Paparazzi Podcast.
Sure. So it's a good buzzword too. So I can yeah. understand where you named your
Yeah.
Your
yeah, podcast. Exactly. And depending on who you're talking to, depending on who it is, you know, if someone says, "Oh, you're a stupid paparazzi," or, you know, "Oh, you're a stalker paparazzi," something like that, that's obviously a slur.
Yeah.
People who don't know and they're just using it as the word that they know to describe us. It's a, you know, I don't mind that at all, but yeah, I try and correct people and just say, you know, no, we're photographers out here. You know, paparazzi is a kind of an old word that people used back in the day, and people don't usually we use that anymore.
So yeah. is being a paparazzi, is it pretty lucrative? See, I don't know. I'm talking to you three. I have no idea. I don't know what kind of money can be made. Can you give me like a range? If someone's a good paparazzi in LA, how much can they make a year on photos of celebs?
Six figures. Easy.
Really?
Easy. Like back in the old days when I first started, like anyone could make six figures. The last 5 years, 10 years or so, it dropped down. But it feels like it's coming back. It feels like the money is coming back into the game at the moment.
It's not a lot of photographers in LA.
No,
right now.
Yeah, I think
a lot of photographers have left.
Yeah, I think COVID knocked a bunch of photogs out, mm-hmm. and it seems like you know, there seems to be more celebs out there for the few that are remaining at the moment, and then, you know, more money for us.
Well, and me personally, I mostly shoot movie sets, productions, stuff like that. That's kind of my niche in the business. So as long as there's filming in LA, and as long as there's, you know, there continues to be filming in LA, I'm doing okay.
Who is the most difficult celebrity to shoot? They just make it difficult for you.
I mean, in LA, like Brad Pitt is very hard to work in LA. It seems like,
yeah.
Well, he drives like a bat out of hell. He has security. Any celeb in LA that has a security detail or that has security that drive them are hard to work. We had this same kind of conversation with somebody that was on our podcast a couple of weeks ago who works in New York. And he was saying how kind of easy it is in New York because everybody just completely gives it up. There seems to be a completely different set of rules for Los Angeles and New York photographers. Like the celebs just give it to them, basically.
Yeah, I feel like in New York, there's really, for the most part, not much there's not much wiggle room. You can't really get out of it, so you have to embrace it a little bit. So you gotta live with it. Whereas LA, there's a lot of private property and, you know, maybe gated communities where you really can't get into. New York, it's sort of like, I guess you have to deal with it, you know.
Yeah. Well, and with LA as well, the majority, you know most of the time you're getting pitches, it's from following the celebrities, and if they spot you, they don't like that and they will make it hard. Whereas New York, you know, it's walking out of a hotel or walking into a restaurant, or, and, you know, it's lots of street style, lots of street stuff. Whereas LA is completely different because nobody walks in LA. You know, they're all driving somewhere.
But that's the craziest part. So you guys follow sometimes a celebrity. You might see him pull out of their driveway and you follow them to where they go, but you don't know where they're going. In New York City is like what? 10 miles really around, like they can't go too far for the most part. In LA, you don't know where they're gonna go, and it could be a long ride. Have you guys got caught in a long ride before? Like,
yeah, that's the big thing about LA is, you know, if a celebrity knows anything about, you know, us and being followed or anything like that, I mean, the lower end people, they don't really care, and, you know, they'll get caught just a couple of blocks down. But most of the A-lister celebrities are the people that will try and evade you. They'll just get on it from get go. They'll come out of their driveway and or out of their street, and they'll just be, you know, 90 miles an hour down PCH, in and out of traffic, make, you know, two turns left or two turns right to see who's following them. They know the tactics to kind of fish us out, or just lose us completely.
Well, there's also like some celebs that are completely oblivious to it and just drive like that anyway.
And they drive like that anyway. Yeah, exactly. there's a few. A lot of the kind of I would say bachelorette girls. They do the same kind of thing. They're just crazy drivers.
Yeah.
They'll also come out of anywhere they go, and there'll be a parking ticket on their car every single time they park. I see that as a sign as well.
But like you were saying, you never know where you're going to end up. One day, many years ago, I spotted Christina Applegate in the Malibu Country Mutt. And, you know, she had a boogie board in the car, and she was with her boyfriend at the time. And, I got on the follow just thinking, okay, she's going to go to the beach. And 4 hours later, we're in San Diego.
Yeah. You know? And I've followed Tom Brady in his Bentley with Giselle to Palm Springs. And that was a 95 mile an hour follow, because they were in the carpool lane and my partner and I were in two different cars. We had to pull over, one of us get gas while the other one followed, and the other one had to catch up after we got gas, and we had to rotate like that. That's a tough one as well. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that could pay off, because no one's looking for Tom and Giselle in Palm Springs.
Exactly. Until they turned to a private gated community and you did that for no reason at all.
So wait, how do you guys find celebs? Obviously, we know that, you know, you kind of said, oh, maybe they leave their gated community and follow them to somewhere. But like, how do you find celebs and walking around LA, or what restaurant? Like, what do you do?
Well, we work completely different. I mean, like I said, I do mostly productions and stuff like that. So I'll get a list in the morning of productions. And I just kind of pick and choose where I go. And I go to each production. Today, I went to, you know, 4 or 5 productions.
But wait, don't they like normally give productions fake names?
They do. You just have to figure out what, you know, some fake names, you know, you've heard it in the past, and you know, like TV shows, they'll go on for years and years and years. But new movies or something, they might do it.
The name of a TV show that goes under a fake name.
Let's see. Well, like Modern Family. I was the Modern Family guy for all the years. I shot 90% of the Modern Family pictures. They went under the code name MAF, which was fam backwards. So you know, stuff like that. And once you know those, you'll know it for years. But a new production, especially with A-listers on it, a bunch of A-listers, they will try and code it as much as possible. But we end up figuring it out eventually. They can never really hide too much, but yeah, the Modern Family stuff, that was a lot of years of good stuff.
So when you're on the set of Modern Family, does the cast know you by, cause you're doing it for so long, do they know you by name? Do you know them? Is it like you're part of the team a little bit, or how does that
work? Yeah. Oh yeah. But you know, come maybe season 5, maybe season 6, the crew knew me by name. Everybody knew me by name. No one would bother me at all. Sophia, Sarah, and Eric Stone Street never got used to it. They were just as much divas, even worse divas. And even the crew, they would come up to him. It's only Mark over there. He's been here for years. Come on. What? I don't care. They were the biggest divas. Eric Stone Street, the biggest diva on that set, by the way.
Really, I am shocked, because I feel like Sarah embraced her fame through the show and like realized she's like the young cute girl and everyone's interested into her. I would have thought that she would have been like totally cool with a pap out there taking her photo.
Sarah and I would always go at it. It was kind of funny. You know, I can remember one time I was shooting her at Santa Monica Pier. Mind you, this is Santa Monica Pier, okay? They were shooting a scene on Santa Monica Pier. She was on the bumper cars. And there was a group of maybe 60 people that were sitting there watching. I mean, right up on them, because there's a little fence that you look through for that. And I was just kind of shooting through the cracks of the people. And I remember her looking at me, shooting her from maybe 15 feet away. And she looks over at me. And I've been shooting her for maybe an hour or two. And she looks over at me and she just goes like this. And just really extended it. And all the people around me, it looked like she was flicking all them off, because they didn't really know I was behind them shooting through the cracks. So she was flicking off all these fans that were there, and they kind of got angry at her. And later on that week, I think it was maybe that week or later, a couple weeks later, she used those photos to promote her show on the Instagram.
You're welcome, Sarah, for your glamour shots.
That's exactly what I put on it. I'm like, you're welcome, Sarah, for doing that. And thanks for stealing my pictures.
But just the other day, Sofia Vergara was on Ellen and they used all your pictures as well.
She used six pictures of mine from the Modern Family set because she likes to eat on set. And I got all the pictures of her eating on set. I know, Dax, you remember the banana photos. I remember seeing that in TMZ on the wall in there. And she even mentions.
I was going to say, you had quite a few photos that made the wall at TMZ. So, Adam, I don't even know if you knew this, but back when TMZ was in our old building on Sunset, I would take all the photos that I pitched on the show because I'd print them all off. And so I just had hundreds of photos and I felt bad throwing them away. So I decorated one of the edit bays in the office. I covered the walls with photos. So that photo of Sophia was one of the main ones in that room. It made its way over to the new office. But there was tons of Heidi and Spencer. I think I kept most of them, but literally hundreds of amazing paparazzi photos lined that entire edit bay. It was really, really cool.
Do you still have pictures of that? Did you take pictures of that editing bay at all?
I would have to ask. I would have to ask around if anyone still has those.
That would be cool to see, I think.
Because I could go, I literally have a box in my garage, Jerry Maguire walk out with a box kind of thing. and it was just full of tons and tons of printouts and all kinds of, my favorite photos of all time. I'm going to go grab that. That'd be kind of fun to look through.
Wait, how was Eric Stone Street a diva?
Oh, man. Because Sophia and Sarah, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is they would always be the last to set. They would be the ones just making everybody wait on set, you know. And I would because when I'm on sets, I listen to their radio. I have a scanner. I listen to their radio, communication and stuff. And I hear what they're talking about. It helps me out and it helps them out because I'm never in the frame. I'm never, bothering them. I can hear where they're going and I can maneuver myself without having to guess where things are going to be. And, you just hear all the time. Who are we waiting on again? Oh, yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. What's she doing now? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, just get her to set as soon as possible. 10 minutes later, same thing. Eric would do the same thing, but Eric just hated the pictures. And Dax, I don't know if you know, but that banana picture of Sophia, we called Bananagate amongst the crew of Modern Family and myself because they all ended up getting bananas at some point and doing that side angle banana photo picture. We tried to get the whole crew to do it, but it was only Eric and Jesse and Sophia that ended up doing it. But it was pretty funny how that all ended up.
I think I remember seeing numerous people. I'm like, what is happening? Why is everyone eating bananas on the set of Modern Family?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. They had a great time. I love that show. It was great. I miss it.
Which celebrity deals with the paparazzi the best?
Well, in the old days, for me, it was always Paris. Not so much now because she's not shot as much. But in the heyday, she was by far and away the best and the easiest to deal with. She would do anything you wanted, the over the shoulder, big smile, wave. And this one time, she was at Petco. On Doheny there, and it was when her song "Stars Are Blind" first came out, and one of the paps played it in their car as she's walking out of Petco, and she's just singing and dancing, and she was the best. She'd do anything that you asked her for.
She really was great. Who would you say would be the worst big celeb? Where you see
them
around, you're like, oh god, here we go.
Hold on. My greatest celebrity that dealt with us. Was McConaughey when he lived here. He was
the beach stuff, running shirtless through the he was the great.
Well, he would coordinate us. If he didn't like what we were doing, he would say, hold up, guys. I would do it in a Texas accent if I could, but hold up, guys. All you guys go over here, okay? I'll give you the shots you want. Go over here. We'll get the shots. And then he would do it. And then he'd be like, see you later, gentlemen. We're done for the day, right? And Mr. McConaughey. Boom, we're gone. Yeah, he would control us great.
That's cool. The thing. Adam and I talk about it all the time. If people have a respect for the paparazzi, they get so much further. The pap's going to make them try to look good.
Yeah.
They're going to leave you alone, like give them what they want, and it benefits both sides, and then everyone can be happy for the rest of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's kind of weird saying like, give us what we want and then we'll let you go. That's, you know, that always makes people feel a little bit weird. But if you know what you're dealing with, like McConaughey did, you know, he knows who he is. Yeah. So he knew he just would just coordinate us, just say, yeah, okay, here we go. We're going to do this. And then you guys are going to be cool for the rest of the day. Right. Yeah. Cool. No problem. And they would always mind it. You know, and I'd always say to celebrities when I saw him, like, take a lesson from McConaughey. Talk to him when you see him at your next party.
All right, give me the tea. Who's the worst celebrity to deal with?
Julia Roberts.
Yeah?
For me, Julia Roberts, yeah.
Yeah.
She's been my worst.
Mean or what?
Everything, yeah. Just mean. she stole stuff out of my car.
What?
Yeah, she snuck up behind my car, opened my passenger door, and stole everything in my passenger seat, which was my 300 lens, my iPhone, and every cord that I had, because she just ripped all the cords out. I have a video following her back to her house because she just ripped all the stuff away. I said, Julia, you can't just take stuff out of my car, man, just because you're mad I got a picture with you.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you can pick it up at the police station. I'm filing a report. I'm like, oh, I'll file a report too. Grand theft, it's $600 lens, you know?
Yeah.
So what happened with that? How'd that end?
Well, I ended up shooting her. It was a Sunday. I shot her. She was walking her dogs in Malibu. And then I was waiting for her to come back down a road and I lost her. I didn't see her at all. And she snuck up. She must've belly crawled. It was crazy. I don't know where she could have come from, but she snuck up under my passenger door and opened my door without her even seeing. I was looking that way to try and find her and I couldn't see her. So she had to belly crawl over to me and open my door, took my lenses out. She took my stuff to her house. And then I went to the end of the street to just talk to my coworker at the time. And she pulled up in her car and she was doing her, I say it's her fake crying that she does, that she do on cue. And she just had this bawling, crying episode where she's like, oh, I just had such a bad week with you guys. And, you know, you guys are always getting me. And, you know, you seem like a nice guy. Here's your stuff back. I don't want any problems. And get my stuff back.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just picturing, honestly, I'm just picturing her army crawling. That's, you kind of lost me there. Where I'm just picturing Julia Roberts just on the ground, crawling up to a car. And then
there is no way, there's no other way she could have come up to my car because
idea of you sitting there looking for her, and then she opens the door and she's on her hands and knees grabbing your stuff out of the car.
She creeped up from the side. Yeah, she was down low. She creeped up into my car. It was like a demon creeping up into my car. It was weird. Julia Roberts, we're talking about.
America's sweetheart.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Wow, that's so funny. One of my worst experiences, worst celebrities I've dealt with, is Nicole Kidman in Nashville.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. I thought I was being super discreet, but she was on to me within a second. And she pulled up next to me in the car, motioned to wind down the window. Keith Urban got his phone out and started recording. And she just went off like a banshee. I've never heard so many cuss words from anybody in such quick succession that I was unnerved. It was unbelievable. She cussed like a sailor at me for maybe 3 minutes straight. And I would love it if like somebody got hold of this video from Keith Urban's phone, because it would just paint her in a completely different light. She was not happy.
What was she so mad about?
Just because I guess I worked her the day before and didn't think she'd seen me, but she saw me then. And then she saw me 2 days in a row and she just, you know, she doesn't like to be photographed anyway. And, you know, especially in the state that she calls home in Tennessee. So she just went off on one. And I've never heard anyone talk like that ever.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, she's also, I mean, I know a photographer also who got her jogging one day out in the hills and her security attacked the photographer in his car. There's a famous video of him screaming inside the car doing video. And so I know she's pretty bad too. And Julia, there's one time with Julia real quick. I wasn't even working at all. I was just sitting at a light at the bottom of waiting to get on a PCH, and I just heard this woman in this car next to me screaming and yelling at somebody through all of our windows. I mean, my windows were closed, her windows were closed, and I'm like, man, this woman's going crazy on this person. Who is this? You know, and I look over, and it was Julia tearing into somebody on her you know, her headphone mic. And just like he said, just like a sailor, what the worst cussing, the I mean, digging into whoever it was. I didn't know who it was, but I couldn't believe I was watching Julia do this. And someone, you know, because I could be anybody looking at her next to her at all, you know, yeah. And how she would do that with just, you know, in front of people is crazy.
I love these stories. They're so good.
It's, you know, it's weird. I don't get to talk to a lot of guys who, like, I don't know. I always love talking to other photographers because there's not a lot of people that do what we do. So it's like, we all have these like funny stories, but we only can really, I only understand, like, I feel like we're the only ones who really understand them. And I don't have too many other people I can like listen to them or kind of, it's like therapy for me in a way. I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one who's been through this shit. So, yeah, exactly. Let me ask you this, guys. Have you guys ever gotten nervous for your safety with a celebrity?
I don't think I have.
Brad. Brad. Kesha's boyfriend, Brad. Yeah. Not Brad Pitt. We have an episode, actually. We call it Brad's, where we talk about the different boyfriends of female celebrities that feel that they have to make themselves relevant in their lives, because if they didn't, these girls would just, you know, kick them to the curb. And yeah. Brad, Kesha's boyfriend, he was one of those guys who every time we would shoot him, every time we would follow, even when we would, you know, kind of doorstep him and she would leave in a car, he would stand in front of the road and try and block us and yell at us and pound on our cars and threaten us all the time. I mean, wow. We never took it as a real threat. He was not really a tough guy. I don't think, you know, he would really do much in that kind of a situation, but he would always threaten us and he would always threaten violence every time. And Kesha wasn't like that. Kesha was really cool. Every time we would shoot her when we were out, the only time it would be weird was when she was with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about like bodyguards? Have you ever felt uncomfortable? Like, has there been an over aggressive bodyguard with some celeb that you're like, this doesn't feel safe?
In the old days, Britney had some big old guys. The only thing that ever happened with those, I had our rental car keys stolen once by one of Britney's guys in Walla Walla, Washington. It was when she was married to K-Fed, and it was Federline's brother's graduation, and he was at school in Walla Walla, and we followed Brittany to the airport, and it was a private airfield, sorry, and we're getting pictures of her getting on the jet, and we get back to our rental car, and we see her bodyguard with the keys, like waving at us, and he threw them over a barbed wire fence onto the airstrip.
Oh.
That's pretty much the only negative kind of situation I've got into with bodyguards, because generally they're all right. I know there are these stories where photographers have been walloped by them and got a big old juicy payout, but unfortunately that's not happened to me yet.
And the dealings with security that I've had is they always look scary when they approach you, that you think something's about to happen, but in my experience most of them have been pretty cool and pretty calm, because that's kind of what they're paid to do.
Yeah.
You know, they're paid to look intimidating and be intimidating. If they have to do something, they're going to do something. But to control the situation, they need to be professional and try and keep things calm. I think, you know, the best do that.
Oh, sorry. I thought Adam was asking a question. What do you guys, how do you guys respond when people call you a stalker? We kind of briefly mentioned that earlier, where you said, you know, people call you stalker paparazzi, but like, what is your response when people are like, oh, you just stalk celebs? Because even working at TMZ for years, people would say the same thing to me, even though I'm in an office literally holding up pictures. Oh, you're a stalker. And I'm like, dude, it's, you know, it's a job that, you know, we're reporting on people who are extremely famous. The curiosity around these celebs is what keeps photographers their jobs being paid. So what is your guys' response?
Well, the people that are calling us stalkers as well generally are the same people that are buying the magazines.
Yep.
Hypocrites.
Yeah, complete hypocrites. What was the question?
No, just how do you respond to
it? Oh, how do I respond? Well, I usually say
dirty, dirty, disgusting Pat.
How dare you? Do you buy us weekly? Yes. Well, you're feeding into it. No, I just say, you know, I take pictures. Am I a stalker? No, I'm not outside the house 24/7. I'm there for a few hours, maybe get my pictures and I'm on my merry way. I just tell them how it is, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, honestly, whenever anybody comes at me with that kind of talk, I usually don't even talk. I just kind of move on and move away from it, because it's just that's coming from ignorance and people that don't really understand the business at all. And that's the reason why we started this, our podcast, at least. And I know you guys are very similar to what we're doing. But there was a lot of unknown being out in the general public. And there was a lot of questions that people asked that I heard over and over and over again while I was out there, that people just didn't understand the business. And so let's start this podcast to get people to know the photographers. If the celebrities were to watch these episodes, they would understand that, you know, the guys following them, they have kids. They don't want to shoot kids. They have kids. They're 90% of them are not a threat. You know, they're good guys. They're good guys that have lives and have histories and have backgrounds.
We're just trying to make a living. Yeah,
exactly. And a lot of guys work respectfully. I know there's a lot, you know, just like any profession out there, there's people that make the people that do good look bad. And, you know, we're just trying to relay who the good guys are.
Yeah.
So what is the biggest shot for you right now? If there's one shot for you guys to get, like, what's the really good target for you right now?
God, you know, I always say the same thing, because it's been the same for 15 years, I guess, 12 years. Brad and Jennifer Aniston in the same frame.
Right.
Crazy.
Just imagine them making out somewhere, like, not.
Well, just them in the same frame.
Well, remember
the shot of them at, what was it, the Golden Globes or something?
It was
when
party.
They, like, that was the first shot of them together, and it was like a photo. Or
they totally set that up, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you got them out at a restaurant or something together, you know, that's going to make.
It would make silly money. Yeah. I think that would be the biggest. You know, it would be the biggest story of the last, you know, 10 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a completely discreet set of a pair of them on a date would just be huge.
I wonder if they know.
Yeah, they do. They do.
For sure know. And, you know, after talking to Spencer and him saying, like, look, even the biggest stars on the planet set up photos, you know, and he said, look, Brad and Angelina, they set up those, you know, those photos of them on the beach. And when I say set up, it means like, hey, potentially they wanted people to know and just get it out in the air. So, hey, my person can then contact that person and let them know where we're going to be. It doesn't necessarily mean Brad calls up the Paps.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, someone letting someone else know and just get the shot. And now it's out there for the world. But I think that's kind of a realization for a lot of people, is whether or not they think the word paparazzi is a dirty word, people need photographers. People like celebs need these photographers to stay relevant, and people forget that. It is a very important job that you guys provide to these people, because in between TV shows, if they're not being seen, they're not relevant.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I call it controlled photos, you know, instead of set up or anything else. I call it just controlled photos. And when I approach any celebrity, I mean, I approached Jennifer Garner with this, you know, multiple times back in the past, and she was never receptive to it. But I'm like, don't you want to control this? Don't you want to control what's going on? These guys, 5-10 guys sitting out in front of your house every single day. Don't you want to control this? You could do this. You can control it if you want to. You know, if you're walking down Rodeo, of course you're not going to control it. You're going to be, you know, just another person doing that. But if you want these guys to leave the front of your house, you need to control this, you know, and you need to feed the beast. And they never understand. It's pretty crazy.
Some do. Some don't.
Some do.
And they have great control over it. Yeah.
Is J-Lo and Ben Affleck doing setup shots now?
I don't think so. No, I mean, they're just parading it around for everybody to see.
Just like the Anna de Armas.
Yeah.
You know, they just come out and give it up and give it up, you know.
I think that's the thing is like J-Lo, I think she gets the game more than most celebs out there. And she's like, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to be on my yacht that's accessible for people to take photos. Yeah. I'm going to lay out on the deck because that's the other thing that I think people don't realize is if celebs don't want to be seen, they don't have to be seen.
No, there's a absolutely. Good chance
that you can hide away and no one will ever see you. You don't go to Saint-Tropez in July with all the other celebs because there's a team of paparazzi. You don't go to Boa Steakhouse on Sunset if you don't want to be seen. Like, there's so many things that people can do to not be seen. That's why you don't see Nicole Kidman every day.
Exactly.
But you see Ben and Jen because they go to the same gym that is accessible for the paps. They sit on their yacht. They're doing things so those photographs are taken so that she can dominate the headlines. There's also the same reason that J-Lo will take bikini photos on her birthday and say, look, I look good for 50. Yeah,
because exactly. She knows
it's going to dominate the headlines. She's smart with all that.
Yeah, exactly. And Nicole Kidman's, she's not hiding out. You know, she's not hiding out. She's not a recluse, you know. She just knows the game. She knows what she's doing. She knows how to be avoided. DiCaprio, same thing. He only gets shot when you want him to get shot, you know?
Yeah.
Rarely you're going to get a shot of him where he doesn't know you're there, you know?
Very true. How often do celebs DM you to ask you for permission to use your photos?
Permission to use our photos?
Never.
Never.
Never? Yeah, you never had a celeb say, hey, I saw your name tagged on there. Can I post your photos?
Really? No, they just post them.
They just steal them. Yeah.
I am really surprised. I feel that like people have come a long way. Like I've noticed Kim credits all her photos now because she kind of got her hand slapped for using pap photos and some of all the Kardashians. But interesting.
Yeah, we try and call them out. You know, when Sarah used to do it for Modern Family a lot, Sophia's done it plenty for her clothing lines when I used to shoot her on set. And I tried calling them out a bunch of times on Instagram and social media, stuff like that, but never a response, never a credit, nothing. Yeah.
Do you ever take action against that? So they do have to credit you or take you down or compensate?
Yeah, the agencies kind of take care of that now. I haven't done it. I'm a freelancer, but I give to certain agencies. I don't really have the copyrights to all my stuff, but the agencies, you know, they like to go after it and pick up a buck if they can.
Or else it makes them not valuable, and that's valuable content for them.
Yeah, yeah. Right, but it's still the Wild West.
We're going to do a quick speed round with you guys. We do this with all of our guests. We'll basically ask a question, and you come up with the fastest answer possible. So maybe we'll ask the question, Jedi, you answer it, then Mark, you answer it. Cool?
Okay.
Okay.
Trying to keep that down.
All right. I'll start first. Place in LA, you know, you'll run into a celebrity.
Robertson Drive, Boulevard, whatever it is. Yeah.
Where the Ivy is. Now. Mark, go.
In 2003.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
on any movie set I work on.
No, like Boa Steakhouse, any night of the week, you'll get a TikToker or somebody.
There you go.
Okay. Best looking in person.
Oh boy. Oh shit. This is me first. Wow. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Cause they all look completely different from everything they ever post on Instagram.
Cause I feel we've had Charlize Theron's names got brought up multiple times with us for people that you just see her in person. You're like, holy crap. Like this woman is gorgeous. Anyone
Kate Beckinsale.
Like that?
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah. She's a babe. She's a babe.
I'll say Kate Beckinsale. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Just because she has hair and makeup at her house every single day before she leaves, every single day.
Does she really?
Every day.
There's not a day that she's walked out of her house where you're like, oh, look, she just got out of bed. Like she's never always bound up.
If she's going out and she might be seen, hair and makeup there every day.
Wow.
Like a movie. Yeah, like
That's
a movie.
A lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Exactly.
Like, can we even see Kim Kardashian without hair and makeup sometimes? And that's someone that is consistently photographed, and she's even left her house without anything.
Yeah. You get any picture of Kim before she's got into hair and makeup and you're making the big bucks, because she or the Kardashians will buy the picture from you because they don't want to be seen like that.
Really? They don't want to be seen. I've seen them post content where they're not in hair and makeup.
No,
Have you ever had the Kardashians buy a photo set off of you because you got them in an
It hasn't happened to me, but I was talking to a photographer last week, actually, and he got a bunch of the Kardashians all together without them knowing. And as soon as the pictures hit the market, they bought them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Celebrity that you caught doing something that they said, hey, please do not send that out and I'll help you out.
Huh. Should I take this one?
Yes, this is so good.
Coldplay.
Chris Martin.
Yes, I got him on a music video, and he was in this crazy Russian fat suit that he didn't want the art of the video to be spoiled early. So he sent his security guard out to pull me aside because I was the only one who got the photos. It was actually a bunch of guys there, but I was the only one who got the photos, and he invited me into his trailer. Talked to me for about, I don't know, a half hour. We had a couple of drinks together, chilled, talked about everything, and he offered me a sum of money to not put the pictures out before the video came out.
Killing with kindness. I like it.
And by the way, Chris Martin, the coolest of all of them.
Yep.
Who was it that we talked to?
We talked to someone that had the same thing. Like they ran into Coldplay or Chris Martin in Hawaii, and he was the coolest guy, like hung out with them, chilled.
There's been some bad moments with Chris Martin too.
Yeah.
Like it has always been great moments with him. We've seen video of him going crazy. Remember he beat up the photographer outside when his kid was coming out of the hospital. Do you remember the first time that, I don't know, there's
other issues at play. I mean, if your kid's injured or not,
true. 100%. But
I could throw off your whole psyche.
I've had great experiences with him. How about any other one? Or
it's never happened to me. I'd like it to happen. We actually talked about this on a podcast. I shot Chris on a bicycle in Malibu maybe a year ago, and he came up to me. I wound down the window, was having a nice conversation with him, and then his phone rang, and that was the end of it.
He was about to say, like, I didn't like the pictures.
Yeah, I was about to get the offer.
He thought he would, and then he had a phone call.
Yeah.
Oh man, what's Jesus, the weirdest? Okay, next question. Weirdest place you've ever caught a celebrity?
Oh, so much for a speed round. weirdest place. I mean, many moons ago, Victoria Beckham went to the Pleasure Chest on Santa Monica Boulevard when her and David first came to LA and they were shooting their reality show. She led us on a good old chase around LA and ended up at a sex shop. That was kind of fun.
Well, good for them. Healthy relationship. I like it.
Absolutely.
And I caught Annalyn McCord once at the beach, skinny dipping, and then coming out of the water. And she approached me and asked me never to put the pictures out, and I never did.
Interesting. got that floating around somewhere out there. Got it.
It's not floating. It's gone. It's gone.
You deleted them.
Deleted. Yep.
Good for you. All right.
Most intimidating celebrity.
Oh, I'm not really intimidated by anyone.
I mean, McConaughey was pretty intimidating. That's why he had such good control, like I was talking about earlier. I just never wanted to piss him off. You know, he just had that demeanor. But I mean, Julia was, she's nasty. I was always scared with her. Yeah.
You know? Okay. How about most understanding of your job as a paparazzi?
Courtney Cox.
Oh,
for me. Sorry.
Well, Brad, Brad Pitt is very hard to get. When you get him, he's very cool and generally does deal with it well. It'll be a wave, a smile. His security will come up and say, okay, well done, boys.
Yeah.
And so I think Brad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nicest when it comes to photos with?
Photos with? Mike Tyson was really nice. I had a photo with him once. There's a photo of me and Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie was very, very nice. Will Ferrell was very nice when I asked for a picture with him way back when.
I can tell you the worst who didn't want a picture with me was Chris Pratt.
Really? Yes. You think he'd be nice?
Shocked.
Right? That's what I said, you know? Yeah, Chris Pratt. I've taken pictures with a lot of celebrities. I mean, Selma Hayek was one of those where I thought I'd be intimidated and she wouldn't do it. She did it. But Chris Pratt, one day I was shooting him with Catherine. They were just done with their workout and they were walking back to their house. And I just said, hey, Chris, I'm a big fan. I'm like, my kids would go crazy if I got a picture with you right now. Can I get a picture with you? And he goes, yeah, no.
I'm really surprised. He seems like a close friend. Let's go with funniest celebrity.
Gosh, who did we used to have a lot of fun with? Paris was always a lot of fun. Was she the funniest? Probably not. God, there must have been someone that would kind of like play tricks or something back in the day.
You know who used to be? It used to be John Mayer.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
He used to be great.
He was a lot of fun. You know what? Once, many years ago, John Mayer used to do a cruise. It was, you know, the John Mayer cruise. And you'd go out of Long Beach and you'd go down to Mexico for 3 or 4 days. And I was sent on this job. Like, you go on a cruise ship and take pictures of John on the cruise and whatever. And one, you know, the first day setting sail, he'd come out in his captain's hat and his captain's uniform and like talk to everybody, just have a great laugh. And then one of the days, I think he did stand up or something like that in the Borat mankini costume.
I remember like, that.
That guy was just, he was just a complete riot. Yeah. He used to be so much fun.
Yeah. For me, I would say maybe Ty Burrell, honestly. Okay. Yeah. That guy was always cool on set. He would always joke around. He would always talk. He would always make everything funny. He would always make the set funny. Him and Julie Bowen, actually, they were always great to be around. Always. See,
I like that when my perception in my head is how they are in real life. That's dope.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Celebrity who is not a good person. They could be, you know, there's people that are not cool into what they're doing, but not a good person. I think is it Julia, I guess?
We can just keep going back to her all day long, but no, I'll try and think of someone else. Go ahead.
I can't think of anyone that I've seen, like witnessed, not be a good person when they don't know I'm there. The only really one of the worst encounters I had is with Nicole Kidman, but that's just because it was with me. You know, she could be a saint to anyone else, like any other member of the public. I don't know. Nobody comes to mind.
For me, I mean, it's not really even one person in particular. I like to see, because, you know, LA is riddled with homeless right now, and there's a lot of beggars on every single corner. And when you're on a follow, you see these celebrities pull up to these spots where people are begging for money. And I notice more times than not, the A-listers, the people that are the top of their game, the multi-millionaires, they do not give money to these people. And everybody who's kind of underneath them, D-listers, C-listers, B-listers, whatever, they always give money.
Yeah. Always see the handouts out of the window, you know.
Yeah, like, you see the hand come out of the window.
Do you feel like there's pressure, though, when there's a paparazzi behind you, car, and you know, and you're like, God damn it, now I got to give money again. And
they never do. They never do. That's the thing.
A homeless person today.
Yeah, they never do, though. And, like, I mean, the person that's coming to mind right now, the two people that were my most recent was Annalyn McCord gave money on her way to the airport one day. And Kate Beckinsale and Alessandro Ambrosio did not give money on their way to the gym.
And this also makes me think of like one of the nicest celebrities I've shot. This was like the guy didn't know I was working and he had no idea I was there. It was Dick Van Dyke. It happened a couple of months ago. He went to the Bank of America, drew out a bunch of money. I got photos of him leaving with wads of cash. And he went to the Malibu Labor Exchange, wound down his window, and was just handing out notes to everybody that was looking for work. Yeah.
That's cool.
And he's 95, 96. You know, that guy's a legend.
He's going, cool. What am I going to do? I can't spend all this money.
Right?
Hand it out.
Jedi got some good dick pics that day.
Yeah.
Wait, did you really? Who'd you get?
Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, I was like, what? Did you get someone else's dick pic? I didn't know. I was like, what, Steven Dorff go to the beach again?
Oh, that's funny.
Place where celebs go, and you're just not sure why.
Zuma Beach.
Yeah,
that's where David Beckham went, and was surprised we caught him, and we had a big fight. Yeah, Zuma Beach. It's the most patrolled beach in all of LA, all of Malibu, whatever, and they go there and expect not to get seen.
Okay.
The best celebrity to the fans. Who's the best celebrity that treats the fans the best, the nicest?
I mean, who signs the most? I'm trying to think of
those autographs and stuff.
I mean, again, like
Shawn Mendes.
Who?
Shawn
Mendes.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like Paris back in the day would always take selfies with everybody and sign whatever anybody put out. I don't know about right now or the last couple of years with COVID going on, whether anyone's got time for their fans.
I'm trying to think of anybody.
Yeah.
I'm on a lot of movie sets too. And, you know, there's always fans that come up to people and stuff. And most of them are pretty cool with that. It really comes down to the level of celebrity they are. And it seems like the higher level celebrity, especially ones who have security or something like that, they are the most standoffish to their fans. Unless it's a completely controlled environment or something like that. But anybody who's coming up or, you know, not quite a lister.
Oh, sorry. I kind of lost your idea though. Okay. My last question, who has the coolest house out there? Like, you have seen so many celeb houses. Who's got the best?
I mean, he's not a bona fide celeb, but Dan Bilzerian's is pretty sick. Like you can see it. You can see it across the canyon from like Aniston's, and that place is always like going off. I think that's the house that I'd want if I could take any kind of celebrity house.
Any house that Jay-Z rents, especially in Malibu.
True.
I will say that right there. Yeah.
Very
good point.
Cool.
Good point. So, you know, obviously you guys have a very similar podcast we've talked about going into the paparazzi world. If you were going to tell some of our listeners why they should come, like, listen, like, give us an example of what they would hear if they tuned over to your podcast.
Real stories from real Hollywood celebrities. Every week we talk about what we've been working. Photographers. Sorry, yeah. We're not real celebrities. We're not celebrities, are we? Real stories from real Hollywood photographers. Every week we talk about what we've been working, what we've shot. You know, it gives people a taste of our business, our day to day. You know, it's exciting. Every week is different.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, we started it. It was actually another guy and I who started the podcast together. And we would just sit around sometimes and, you know, either, you know, drink some beers or whatever and talk about our old days and stuff. And we thought this would be a good podcast. And then it evolved into, you know, just what the public doesn't know about this kind of taboo business, and just to get the point across and get the knowledge to civilians, I call it, you know, just about what the business is all about and how we're not all stalkers, we're not all savages, and we're not all, you know, people that you need to hate or love to hate. Or
yeah,
whatever.
It gives a friendly face to the business.
Exactly. It gets to know people. Like even the celebrities, how they talk about how, you know, they don't know us, you know, so that's why they're afraid of us. That's why they're afraid when people are following them, because they don't know who we are. Well, then talk to us, then, you know, say something, you know, get to know us a little bit better. You know, when 10 guys jump out, I understand, but if it's one guy, why don't you just pull him aside and say, hey, you know, what's up, man? How are you doing? Kate Beckinsale did that with me a long time ago. Sophia's done it with me, and they're still crazy, weird, afraid and standoffish about it.
So
that's what you're going to get on our podcast. It seems like we're both doing the Lord's work out there, so yeah.
Well, I love it. I think people would truly enjoy your guys' podcast, and especially if they're listening to this one. I think that that is their wheelhouse. I mean, we're always saying we humanize Hollywood. We reveal that fourth wall, and it sounds like you guys are doing exactly the same thing. So it was fun to have you guys on. I appreciate you making some time. I know that you guys are busy, and you know, tracking you down isn't always the easiest thing. So thank you.
No, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I mean, normally in this situation, they would call this like a brother-sister relationship, but let's just call this a brother-brother relationship. You're our brother podcast.
There you go. No, it's been fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
No, I love those stories. I think it's fun. It's interesting. It's interesting for me as a New Yorker to hear what the LA guys have to say. And they got great stories, man. It's funny. It's fun. Like I hope, please let me know if you're not into paparazzi stories, because I find them fascinating. I always did.
Like, we get the most reactions from people when it's a paparazzi and they're like, oh my God, I didn't know that. In bodyguards, I feel like I get the most texts about. Yeah. I mean, obviously we get good texts when it's like a huge celeb, but I think the behind the scenes bodyguard paparazzi work, it like makes people salivate. Not only that, when you get a story about Julia Roberts army crawling through Malibu, I mean, come on, that's gold.
Who knew Julia Roberts was so difficult and tough? That's interesting. Didn't know. Yeah. That's wild. But guys, if you like this podcast, make sure you like and subscribe on the YouTube, on the Spotify and iTunes. You could leave a review. That's the best thing to do to support this podcast. If you leave a review, we'll read it live on air. You could find this whole video portion of this podcast on our YouTube page. We are on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're on it all. YouTube. You can find me at Adam Glynn, GLYN. You can find Dax Holt at DXHOLT. And we'll see you guys next week.
A Huda Media Production.